banks were encouraged to expand the operations in a big way in the rural unbanked areas so as to fulfill the broad objective. Which are those objectives? One, disbursal of the credit to an increasing number of borrowers, particularly in a priority sector. More branches to be opened in unbanked or underbanked areas or backward areas. And third one is direct credit to the channel, to the essential segment in such an area to correct the regional imbalance. The period between the nationalization and the mid-70s has been characterized by the rapid expansion and the growth. Okay. The economy, there was a good growth till the end of 1978. And the conducive economic condition made the banks to increase the finance to the priority sector up to 1/3 of the total outstanding credit. Separate institution that would function combining the features of the cooperative and the commercial banking with low operating cost as to provide a timely and adequate quantum of the finance came into the existence. So, the concept of the regional rural banks, that is RRBs, have came into the existence where the regional rural banks ordinance came into passed on 26 September 1975 and the Regional Rural Bank Act 1976 came into existence. During this nationalization, the banks in 1969, there were only one branch for every 65,000 population. And in 1982, on account of the massive branch expansion in all parts of the country, this situation has changed to one branch for every 20,000 people. In spite of enormous growth in the population. So, in the first 5 years plan, after nationalization, the nationalized 14 banks together with increased branch network to the 100%, half of which were in underbanked areas were open. In the year 1980 to 1990, banks witnessed deregularization of the financial sector. Reserve Bank of India determined the rate of interest that banks were permitted to pay or charge. No individual banks will determine its own rate of interest. RBI will determine interest rate on the term loans and the advances were deregulated subsequently. Now banks were permitted to prescribe the lending rates for the term loans of 3 years and above. And the remittance become very easier. Various selective credit control measures were abolished. That is because of increase in foreign currency reserve. Banking become more competitive in the mid-90s with the opening of the new private sector banks. Reserve Bank of India has permitted the setting up of the local area banks and two were opened soon after there was presently four local area banks. RBI permitted new banks to be formed which were promoted by the well-regarded organization well-regarded organization such as HDFC, that is Housing Development and Finance Corporation, ICICI, IDBI, and others. So non-banking finance companies too have floated their own banks such as Centurion Bank and the Kotak Mahindra Bank. So the cooperative banks such as Development Credit Bank were given a license and the bankers joined together and floated the banks in such as Yes Bank. The new generation banks were aggressive in marketing, focused on the growth and the technology driven. So in addition, there were consolidation. ICICI reverse merger with ICICI Bank and IDBI merged with the IDBI Bank. The corporates and the non-banking financial companies set up universal banks. RBI issued the licenses to set up payment bank. Payment bank cannot undertake any lending activities and 25% of its branches must be in the unbanked or rural areas. Thereafter, RBI issued the license to open a small finance bank to undertake the basic banking activities and acceptance of the deposit and lending to the unserved and underserved sections of the society, including small business units, small and marginal farmers, micro and small industries, and unorganized sectors entities. A public sector bank have large non-performing loans and some are not viable. Central government is in the process of merging the smaller or weaker of those banks with the larger banks among the public sectors also. Right? Now, after this development, we have to also look from the banking and technology perspective. Banking and technology perspective. The arrival of the internet in 1990, which was changed the banking. Okay? The importance, functions of the banks also have been changed. As far as Indian banking scene is concerned, post-independence, the nationalization of the major private sector banks in 1969, they made the banking accessible to the unbanking population in India. Economic liberalization took place and era of privatization has started, wherein many new private techno-savvy banks have opened their banks and branches. All these banks were quick to leverage the emerging technology, were competitive and very professional in their services. This has helped to infuse a sense of urgency in a public sector banks, completely revitalized the banking operations in India. Now, impact of IT revolution. Opening up of the Indian economy in 1991 with the worldwide internet revolution doubly impacted the Indian private and public sector banks. Once Indian IT services companies started booming the Indian banks and embraced the technology, it paved the ways to the business process automation in banking, which enhanced the customer service, reduces the manpower cost, and increase the profitability. Therefore, Indian banks have started selling the third-party products such as mutual funds and insurance to their clients, as well as the banks becomes one-stop shop for multiple products. Impact of IT revolution. In that, what is the role of RBI? RBI, India Central Bank, it also played a part in this transitional or transformational journey by issuing the regulation and recommendation on the banking mechanization and computerization. Some of the significant landmark which measures taken by the Reserve Bank of India in revolutionizing the banking in India includes 1. Establishment of the computerized interconnectivity across the bank's branches. Introduction of MICR-based check clearing, magnetic ink character recognition-based check clearing. Then modernization of the payment services and settlement through the electronic clearing services. Real-time gross settlement, that is RTGS, and National Electronic Funds Transfer, that is NEFT. What are the significant milestones that have been achieved? Over the years, there has been noticeable shift from traditional banking to channel-based banking. Introduction of the ATMs, automated teller machines. This provides the customer with anytime access to their money. Credit cards and debit cards, they enabled the cashless transaction, unleashed the revolution in the banking world. Affordable technology like computers, smartphones, higher internet bandwidth at lower cost facilitated easy access to the banking product and effortless banking transaction that one can undertake. Now, significant milestone is a call center. Call center and phone banking services. It has further added the customer convenience. Smartphones facilitated introduction of the mobile banking, giving the seamless access to the banking function at the customer's fingerprints. Virtual banking or direct banking, wherein bank offers the product like services and the financial transactions through the electronic delivery channel, generally without physical branch. Bank could now offer the quick services and transparency as well. This has reduced the number of walk-in customers for routine transactions and improved the quality of the customer services at the branches. Now, due to reduction of cost of the branch maintenance, manpower cost, bank can offer the competitive pricing for their products and the services. Because investment which was required to provide the services has been reduced. Number of people reduced. Everything on the fingertips of the people. So more and more customers are already moving to non-branch banking, and the direct banking trend is slowly catching up in India as a technology-savvy banks adopt this model. Automatic handling of the service request like account opening, transfer of funds with the proper documentation tracking facilities, that has been significantly reduced the process. And with the digitalization of all the customer transaction and the data, the banks have able to improve the productivity, optimize the cost, provide the quicker and better customer services. From the customer's point of view, there is a paperless banking, which translates to easy handling, storage, and retrieval of the financial documents and the account statements without the fear of misplacing them. There are no developments happen, but there are challenges. There are challenges which are experienced by the Indian banking. These challenges is always halting the banks for a pause and advised to take a pause. The scale and the complexity in the banking has completely changed in last few years, that is up to around 20 years. However, some of the challenges are still there. And those consist of, one, a piece of technology adoption. Okay. Though it is a welcome by the urban population, cannot be forced upon to the rural population. Even though all banking services, including the account opening, everything has been given, in reality, the customer cannot do without visiting the bank branches. As a customer satisfaction is something which is called as a human touch. That is reducing. Okay. Another impact is impersonal technology enabled touch screen key press and the automated answering system might intermediate and newly urbanized and the rural users who are by and large not that much techno savvy. Banks ensures that technology is tailored to the needs of the different sections of the people. And is also backed by the suitable quick measures in the event of failure or breakdown. The large number of complaints received by the banking ombudsman indicates that the problem of technology proliferation making a priority area for Indian banks. In 2010-11, 74% of the complaints were from the urban and metro, 89% were from the retail individual customers, and around 30% complaints were received from ATM debit card and the credit card transactions remittances. If you analyze this does not include the complaint lodged at the individual banks, but challenges the banks to restore the normally quickly. Having undertaken so many steps, what could be the Indian banking way forward? The banking industry is going through the period of rapid changes to meet the competition challenges of the technology and demand by the end users. Clearly, technology is a key differentiator in the performance of the bank. So, development of the sophisticated product in the low-cost technology is the need of our. In-depth analysis of the customer needs, market and the competitive trend. As the markets are very dynamic, customer needs, ever-changing banks needs to invest in advanced analytical tools for timely introduction of the new product. Overall scenario, the message for the Indian banks is very clear that there is a great rural-urban divide waiting to be bridged, and the rural India has to connect with the mainstream of the economy. Therefore, the goal should not be just to satisfy and engage the customers and enrich their experience. Indian banking sector is booming at a great pace, despite its relatively a small size in comparison of its counterparts in other leading economies. Indian banking sector has been found very lucrative eminent players from international worlds. Technology evolution gives the shape to the Indian banking. It nurtures its nature and to extent of the global economic activities and continues to fundamentally alter the global banking landscape. So friends, this is the scenario of Indian banking. So banking development in India right from the Kautilya Arthashastra and Mauryas, we have come up to the stage today we are in the digital phase. So that journey is very remarkable and Indian banking system is very remarkably certified by certified internationally. It is a very good system. So friends, with this, thank you very much.